and I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Yeah, you're very welcome along. Our text number again, which also works for WhatsApp messages, is 083 311 3311. You can get us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at TipFMSport. And text coming in already, and I don't need to tell you what the majority of the texts that have come in so far, even the texts that are coming in at 6 o'clock this evening, an hour before we go to air. But Clare's 124-213 defeat of Tipperary in the Alliance Hurling League Division 1 semi-final yesterday in O'Moore Park in Portlaoise has certainly got people animated, for want of a better term. We will come to that. We will analyse it. We will come to some of the texts. We won't be able to read them all out, I can tell you that much, but we'll do our best. But let's start by hearing from Liam Cahill, who cut a pretty dejected figure, judging by the tone of his voice, when he spoke to the assembled media in O'Moore Park at full time yesterday.
Yeah, very disappointing. You know, we came here to, you know, with the opportunity of a league final on offer, and, you know, Clare came out with the traps really well. Started the match like a rocket, and we just didn't seem to have the answers. As you said, it was 8-0 before we knew where we were, and you know, struggling in a lot of areas, struggling to get to the pitch of it, out battled in a lot of the physical stakes, and yeah, disappointing overall. A lot of lessons for us leaving today, to be honest, and we've a fair bit of work ahead of us for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, even the free taking was off something you could usually hang your hat on. Four different free takers, like 9-10 missed frees in the game.
Yeah, I think we had 20 wides overall, you know, 9 or 10 of them was from frees. But look, I suppose the narrative was coming into today was who would take the frees. We had, you know, so we still have plenty of options there. We just struck a day where everybody decided to be off on the one day, and that's, you know, that's disappointing, and it does happen, and when it does, it does hurt you. So look, I still have massive belief in all my players. I can't, you know, say that enough. It's a difficult day out there, conditions as we know for the last couple of weeks and months sure have been horrendous, like, so but still, you know, you can't be leaving them chances after you. We're not going to make excuses either, and we're disappointed we're not in the league finals. That's the narrow and short of it, really.
Can you put a performance like that down to an off day, or
yeah,
is that too easy?
Well, no, look, when the stakes go up, you see, you know, when the stakes go up, different players react differently. And, you know, some of our players today, when you know, when the pressure cooker was turned up fairly high, they just weren't able to find the answers. And, you know, that comes with practice, and, you know, they'll have to go away and take the lessons out of that and work hard on it. And we have to have quite a number of, I suppose, discussions as a manager and a player between now and the next 5 weeks to really make fellas aware of where they're at, what areas they need to improve on, and give them the support as well to do that. You know, I have to really get behind these players now. They just don't become bad hurlers after 170 minutes, you know, in the middle of March. Like, you know, our goal was always the 28th of April. That's what we're aiming for. We're not going to hide under that today and just, you know, use that as an out today. We are disappointed we didn't perform, and that we didn't give the big travelling Tipperary supporters a little bit more to go on. Flashed into the game for 10 or 15 minutes after half time and looked like to be finding our way, and then just lost it again. So yeah, there's a bit of work for us all to do now, both players, coaches, managers and everyone to get behind what needs to happen to have us competitive for the and in the right place for the 28th of April.
And was that nearly more disappointing, the fact that you just go back into the game, you got back to 2 points, you did, like, presumably at half time you were going to attack the start of the second half, and then you're so comprehensively outscored from that point on?
Yeah, it is that, Aniki, that's really is the disappointing part, when you work so hard to get yourself back into the game. A couple of, you know, silly frees, you know, kept the scoreboard taking over for Clare and give them that bit of oxygen to see them over the line. Just when you'd have your foot on their throats and coming for them, you know, we do something silly and get hurt for it with a silly free or whatever. So, yeah, there are areas that, again, you know, they'll have to be addressed and discussed, and that awareness will have to be made within the group that if it pops up again, that we try to nullify it and correct it.
In many quibbles, John Connan was probably fortunate to stay on the pitch in the first half, fouling Jason for the second foul.
Yeah, look, you know, I think the ruling, if you check it out right, John, is that if the player was pulled to the ground, it's a black card, but I don't think he was just held, he wasn't pulled to the ground, to be fair, so I think
he was booked just before it though.
Yeah, look, there I suppose it is, but look, you know, I have no complaints with it. We got her free, and I thought Liam Gordon was fairly consistent throughout the match, to be fair to him.
The 5 weeks, can they be transformative for yourselves?
Sure, they'll have to be now. You know, we have to really. But there's great character in that room. There's a great mix of players between experience, you know, fellas that are, you know, let's say in their twilight years, and some good, hungry, aggressive young lads there that have come in as well over the last two seasons and this season. So there's a nice mix there. They're a good, tight group. We love working with them every day. We go to the training field, myself and Mikey and the management team, and we're not going to give up on these fellas anytime soon, because this is a new crop of Tipperary hurlers coming, all, you know, not maybe fully this year, but, you know, over the period of time we'll be here, the Tip team will have transitioned fully, I think, in that 3 year period that we're going to be here. And just, you know, stick with them. I'd say to the Tip supporters to stick with them as well. They will come right. Because what I see in training is not what transpired onto the field today. These fellas, when the day they do bring their training form from the training pitch out onto the match day pitch, they'll be a match for anybody.
Any worries that maybe parallels to the Waterford and Galway match, the guys are, if the team are not at the emotional pitch at the start, that they struggle to sort of, they leave themselves in a big hole. Was there any parallels from those two games to that today?
I don't know, Shane, really. Look, we found ourselves with, you know, I suppose it's not too indifferent, I suppose, to be fair, what you've highlighted there. I don't know is the answer. Like, we've trained really well during the week, came off a reasonable result in Antrim last weekend. And the start today is the most disappointing part for me. If I envisaged a lot of things going wrong, I didn't expect us to be 8 points down and waiting for 11 or 11 and a half or 12 minutes to get our first score. I wouldn't have said that had it been on the cards coming today with the way these fellas were training during the week. So, look, collectively we'll have to look at it, and, you know, the book stops with us all, and we will figure it out in time for Limerick in the 28th of April.
That's Liam Cahill speaking to the assembled media in O'More Park in Portlaoise yesterday after that defeat by Clare in the Allianz National Hurling League Division 1 semi-final. I think his tone of voice epitomises what a lot of us felt after we saw that events in Portlaoise yesterday. JJ Kennedy and Tom McGrath are on the line. Good evening to you, gentlemen.
Hello, Ronan.
Hi, Ronan.
JJ, I'll come to you first. I suppose I don't really quite know what the first question I want to ask you is, but maybe you give us your thoughts on it and your feelings on events in O'More Park yesterday.
Yeah, obviously a pretty dismal day for Tipperary. I had it down really as a 50-50 game going into it. I wouldn't be surprised if we lost, but I certainly expected that we were going to be in the hunt for a long time and that it would be touch and go. But it didn't really transpire that way. Liam was most disappointed, he said there, about the opening 10 minutes or so. That was very disappointing. For me, though, even the worst part, worse than that, was the last 10-15 minutes. 11 minutes into the second half, for all our problems with free taking and whatnot and bad start, we were still within 2 points of them about 11 minutes into the second half, and had the wind at our backs at that stage, you know, on the back of a good sort of recovery when we came out in the second half. But the manner in which we capitulated in the last 20 minutes, I think we scored 1 point in the last 20 minutes, including 4 minutes of additional time.
One texter tells me we scored 2 points in the final 26 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was the worrying part. That to me really was the shocking part of it all. Looking down at the match from the stand in that particular period, we just totally retreated into ourselves. There were times we had virtually nobody in the clear half of the field, or if we did, maybe it was Jake Morris on his own above marking two, three, four clear defenders, and we lost total shape. We lost focus. We were so sloppy. The free taking became a shambles, and it was the last phase was embarrassing, to be honest. It really was, and to me, that was the most worrying part, that players could allow that to happen. You know, you look at a team like Kilkenny of that, and they could be 20 points down and they'd keep fighting to the very end. They'd be scoring goals, you know, in the last minute or two. That's just the mentality they had, or they have. We just didn't have that. And it's really worrying looking ahead to the championship, because the impression I'm forming, and I mean not just based on yesterday, I think in the group games, if you look closely at them, we were poor enough in some of those games as well. This didn't come out of the blue. We were sort of adequate against Dublin. We were very poor against Westmeath. We weren't great against Antrim either. And I think the Limerick game was a misread. Just the goals, just totally camouflaged where we are. And I suppose the Saturday's result between Limerick and Kilkenny put another complexion in that entirely. So we hadn't been going particularly well, and Clare were just so much more methodical and so much more economical. And, you know, they had Aidan McCarthy give an absolute exhibition of free taking, and they just killed us with that. And but again, as I say, the manner in which we absolutely fizzled out in the last 10, 20 minutes was really the big worry for me.
Okay. And just on that Clare free taking, they missed one free, we missed nine. Tom, the last time I spoke to you, I think you were confused by what you were seeing on the pitch. I'm not so sure yesterday's events would have brought any clarity.
What you've been doing is, a lot of it's been talked by Liam Cahill, first of all, and then JJ. But, the bits my turn is, I'll try and pick the positives out of it. They have lost the first 10 minutes by 8 points. You then proceeded and got to the 9th or 10th minute of the second half, down to 2. After having been 8 points down, you're back to 2. You've introduced a couple of subs, and you seem to be starting to make a run for home, I thought. It looked good. You'd be Sean Hayes' first introduction, goal. Seanie Keneally, first possession, a point. Big contributions. Sean Hayes and hard luck he didn't score another point, but it was a kind of a malaise, I suppose, in front of goal. That's really the problem. A problem I'd have had in some of the matches back along in previous years was our failure to engineer frees. In other words, taking the ball into contact and winning the frees. In other words, taking the ball into contact, retaining possession and getting your free. We were doing that yesterday against what we regard as a very physical, fair team. But we were getting our frees, but the first thing is we weren't nailing our frees. Jason Ford, in my eyes, would be a 9.5 out of 10. Gerard O'Connor, much the same. They'd score 9.5 out of 10 frees. Like yesterday, it was just one of those days. But you wonder, TJ Reid and Aaron Gillan missed frees in the match on Saturday, and I saw a match yesterday. There was as many wides as there was points in a county league match, with good free takers on both sides. And I'm just wondering, is there a bit of a problem with the slitter?
Okay, well,
no, you'll say the Clare man didn't have a problem with the slitter.
No, he didn't.
But I'd be only having him an 8 out of 10 free taker now.
Okay, all right, okay. There's a lot to unpick, though, gentlemen, and I'm really keen. I'm just going to pick up on a couple of things that Liam said. Players weren't able to find the answers when the pressure cooker was turned up. So, I mean, Liam doesn't have an answer for that. Do either of you have an answer for why that was the case?
Sometimes you'll learn more from a defeat than you will from a win. And I think Liam Cahill and the boys will have learned a bit yesterday that part of the thinking has to be done on the pitch. And we, like, back to the 10 minutes gone in the second half, we were in a good position. Did players kind of think at that stage, look, we've dug ourselves out of a hole, we're making a move for home, we have a good strong breeze in our back, and got a little bit cocky, a little bit overconfident, or whatever it was. But the retreating back into our own half was the bit that I just couldn't understand. We were looking for scores, and yes, we had one forward inside the Clare 45, and all you do is get the ball down to them. See the way we played a quick ball through the hands, straight up the middle for the first goal. Much the same thing for the second goal. I'd be starting to look at those positives and say we should be able to do that on a more frequent basis, but we got no score from play in the last 17 minutes of play plus almost 5 minutes of stoppages. No score from play.
JJ?
And hit nothing from, and hit probably nothing wide from play either. Like,
yeah, I think I sort of sense that you know, from the management and from what we're hearing about training and that things are going well. Training, these guys are playing well at training. They're having their, you know, their in-house matches and so on, and things are going fine there when they're marking each other. But when they come out to a big game then and they're playing Limerick or they're playing Clare or whatever, and suddenly it's a different ball game. You're now playing fellas of a different level. And I just think part of the problem is that the players that are coming through are not of the quality that we would have had in the past 10 to 15 years.
When you say quality, and I'm sorry to cut across you, I'm wondering, is it a physicality that we're not bringing, an intensity, or is it just basic hurling skills that we're not bringing?
It's all of the above. And I was talking to somebody today, and I posed the question. I said, you know, go back 10 years, 2014. No particular reason to pick 2014 over the, other than, you know, it's a nice round figure 10 years ago. And you look at the team. We didn't even win the All Ireland in 2014. Remember, lost the replay or whatever, but. You look at the Tipperary team there and you look at yesterday's team and ask yourself how many players from yesterday's team would make that team, even though it wasn't an All-Ireland winning team. And we went through it and we reckoned at a stretch four or five. So I think that's realistically, that's where you're coming from. You don't have the same quality coming through when you're hit by injuries, then Seamus Kennedy and those, you know, a huge loss. And it's been shown up on key days. It was shown up in the championship last year against Waterford, against Galway, when you needed answers. Not enough of the team was up to the task, and I think that's the problem as well. And maybe it raises bigger issues about the sort of pathway we have at the moment through the development squads, through the underage teams, and so on. And you know, are we doing as well as other counties in bringing guys through? And I think, I don't think we are.
Right, I'm not disputing that, but I think that's a debate for another day. And I suppose what most of our listeners are trying to fathom is what went on and what went wrong in Portlaoise yesterday. You know, pick up on what you said about training. Liam said, what I see in training is not being translated out into the pitch. And are we at risk of reading too much into a league match in March and maybe translating that into what might happen come April 28th? And there's 5 weeks, and there's a lot can happen in 5 weeks, but we seem to be a long way back and we've a lot to do in 5 weeks.
Yeah, but you see, yesterday wasn't, point I was making again, yesterday wasn't an isolated occasion. You know, we haven't been good in this particular league. It's no coincidence that the two league finalists come from the other group. The other group is a far more competitive group than our one, and we were adequate in our group, but we didn't set the place on fire, and we know what happened last year when push came to shove as well. So it's not just a once off blip. The free taking was a once off blip. I mean, I don't see that as a major problem, because I think that will be righted, I think, for the next day. But it's the other areas that are problematic. And and I think, you know, I'd be worried, to be honest, about the future.
Okay, Tom, I just to analyse some of the space issues that I think arose yesterday. Take the first Clare goal, the only Clare goal. He broke the ball down and raced into an acre of space. There wasn't anyone near him. There was an instant when I think the fullback, or the cornerback, Hogan, I think, takes a short puck out, goes 80 yards, nobody lays a hand on him, he puts over the bar. I mean, you wouldn't see it at a junior match, and if you did, you'd be shouting and roaring and screaming at players. So why were we affording such space to the Clare lads?
Yeah, well, that's the low moment for me was Adam Hogan was the Clare cornerback getting the ball and nobody going to meet him. We allowed him a spare, the free man. That meant we had a free man someplace else. But what was the free man doing? Like, as I call them in the club scene, the orchestra conductors lined across your own 45 instructing guys to go here and go there while there's maybe two or three of them doing absolutely nothing. Like, it goes on, it's wholesale, and you'd probably see a little bit more, like, at the, we call them smaller games, because, like, you can hear what's going on. But that was the low point. Probably the Fitzgerald goal, aided by, I suppose, but he was on the, probably near the 12th step again, he released the ball to put into it, put on his hurley. Referee probably a little bit on sight, so I wouldn't blame him for that. But in, still, there was nobody coming. Went across the, came broken the half-back line, broke across. Your centre-back should be sitting that little bit behind the wingmen in old money. But where were the orchestra conductors? There was nobody there, despite the fact there was nobody there when the ball was a puck out. So, I mean, based on what had been happening for the Adam Hogan point, well, then we were surely set up much the same way, with plenty of lads back in that area, and then the ball breaks and your man is straight through. And that was a bit of a killer blow, all right. But them things will happen, and the frees will get missed and things like that will happen. But I'd go back to the plus would be the fact that we were competitive physically with Clare. I thought that we scored 2-13, right? 2-13 won't win a match in Munster.
But Tom, sorry, I just yeah. we were competitive physically with Clare. We weren't close enough to be competitive physically.
No, but I thought we were winning plenty of ball in the close exchanges. It's a bit easier to address the problem of front up on the Clare lads for the puck out. The concern, there might be a more concern, would be the amount of space we afforded Clare in the first 10 minutes. What were our other players doing? But I think they'll be the things that will be addressed in training. But I'd be trying to pick the bits that I saw as being positives yesterday. There was a whole raft of negatives, right? But the positives to me were that we scored 2-13, we hit 19 wides, but we got ball, got into possession, one freeze. The freeze just didn't stick. Now, I think that has to be, because there was an awful lot being made of our inability to win ball in the air, win the dirty ball on the ground, but we had a lot of possession yesterday. You know, more than we might have had in other matches. We scored two very good goals, and, you know, they're pluses, and work those bits, yeah, and eliminate the negative. Front up, and don't give the opposition cornerback. I thought Kilkenny did the same thing on Saturday. They were nicely in front in the early stages against Limerick, afforded Limerick a couple of cheap puck outs. Limerick worked them through the hand and got scores of it, but Kilkenny had enough done. But I don't think you can be. It's a possession based game, and turn the puck out into a contest and trust yourself after that line.
JJ, a lot of our texters are drawing parallels between the Waterford game in the final round robin of the Munster Championship last year and the All-Ireland quarter-final against Galway last year in terms of performance. Do you see parallels with those two games? And if so, does it represent a lack of progression?
I think it's unavoidable that there are parallels, because you're mostly the same players, some changes maybe, but mostly the same players. And in both of those games, for some reason, we were totally flat and just falling off it and not coming to it. I mean, you know, when Tom mentions about space, and he's correct about fellas not meeting a guy that's coming, whether it's Adam Hogan coming 80 yards or whatever, or David Fitzgerald careering through like that. By the way, there was another one as well, of course. Mark Rogers did exactly the same in the second half. He cut right through the centre of our defence, and I don't know how he put it wide, but somehow he, with a goal at his mercy, just put it outside the post. I think my view on it, and I'm not convinced that, you know, with Tom, that we matched them physically. I'm not convinced of that. We did win a share of possession, but I thought we were losing more of the physical battles than we were winning them. But the other thing, I think that, you know, when a team is under pressure and when fellas are struggling, that's when you'll see the space opening up and fellas having free rein to run against you. Because when fellas are under pressure and struggling, they will tend to withdraw in and they'll tend to hide almost. That's what happens in games when fellas are struggling. And I think that's what was happening with Tipperary. As the game went on, we were being worn down by Clare and we were struggling. And those gaps were appearing. So going back to your question, you know, we had great days last year in the championship, but it all fizzled out at the end with the Waterford and Galway game.
Perspective, for opening day against Ennis was a good day. We drew against Cork. We had a mighty performance, I thought, particularly against Limerick because we were losing going down the stretch. But ultimately, if you look back in the year, it was one I felt was a disappointing year because of the last two games. And a lot of our texters are also saying we've won one championship match in the last 2 years out of nine.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, I'm discounting awfully there before somebody jumps down my throat.
Yeah. You have to bear in mind the opposition. Yeah. I mean, it's true, but again, you know, I keep coming back to it, and you know, it's got to do with people's expectations. I'm still convinced we're struggling with the quality of player we have at the moment. We have a number of players, as Liam Cahill said, in the sort of twilight of their careers. We have that cohort of players there. And then with the younger fellows coming in, and the newer ones are struggling to make an impact at this level. That's the unavoidable. Now, give them time. Hopefully they'll develop, and hopefully they'll come on. And in a year or two, you'd expect you'd have a few more from, you know, the successful minor team. That's the best hope you have. But you are struggling. And I mean, from this perspective, could you tell me where we're going to win a game in Munster?
I can't. I wish I could. There's an awful lot I could put to you, lads, but it's gone 7:30 and I'm going to be racing through this because there's other sports we have to cover tonight. But Tom, I've got to ask you, I'll get this out of the way, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but a lot of conspiracy theorists...
You're going to ask me anyway.
I am going to ask you anyway, but you don't have to answer it. But a lot of people want me to ask you, and it's not just coming from one text, it's coming from several, as to why Noel McGrath was playing at a county league match at the weekend. That would be unusual for an inter-county squad player to be playing county league.
No, a simple offence or towards Ronan. He shipped an injury against a knock against Antrim and wasn't able to train on Tuesday night, and then wouldn't have been considered for selection, and got the okay to play yesterday. And okay. he tried to run off the injury, if you like. It was an injury. There was something that he wasn't going to be able to. It wasn't going to be any benefit in Portlaoise, and felt that, well, I think a decision was made that he needed, or the management felt he needed, a bit of hurling time. He got the okay to play in the league match.
Okay, thank you for that. Puts that to bed.
And had difficulties with the Ellis Slitter.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people aren't agreeing with you on your Slitter theory, but again, that's perhaps for another night. I'm going to finish with asking the two of you the same question, and I'll come to you, Tom, first, and JD, you can come out afterwards. And it's a recurring theme on text, and that is a lack of leadership on the field, that fellas aren't standing up and being counted. I thought Willie Connors, actually, in the first half, took the game to Clare, and I wasn't seeing enough of that from others. So, discuss.
Yeah, well, you see, there's parts of positives that you got out of yesterday. Like, was Willie was carrying the fight on, and like probably we didn't see as much of him in the second half. But was that caused by the fact that we were crowding out? A player of Willie's caliber needs a little bit of space as well. He'll make space for himself with a little throw of the hips here and there. Like, but when we had only one forward inside the Clare 45, it meant we had five forwards out in that, we'll call that middle third. Bring a few more Clare lads from the other end. Bring our own midfielders and our own players. Sure, player needs a bit of space. And guy like, I mean, the stick work that created the goal chance for Jason very early in the match. Like, you know, Willie was involved and stayed going. He's one that's going to bring something to it. But he needs his bit of space. And the thinking, like, but again, it comes back to JJ's point there about fellas hiding. There's a notion there that this. Players in that team are slow. Well, then, if you stay inside. Well, you won't be shown up as much, I think. And players have to play their spaces. Limerick play their spaces, play their own place, their own positions, and all that. And we have to do that. But players have to think on the field as well. But that's a matter of management are going to have to address certain aspects. Management have got a lot of food for thought after the last couple of matches. And we're lacking a bit of a killer instinct as well, like that. We had our foot on Dublin's throat and on Westmeath's throat, but we never finished them off. And it got way back into the game as well. Like yesterday wasn't, you know, the fade coming down the final stretch wasn't a one-off. Like it's just, no, it's disappointing, but there's still a bit there, but points are going to be hard to win in Munster. that's the team after tonight anyway.
Yeah, I think so. JJ, just have the final word with you on the issue of leadership.
Yeah, just short answer. We're short of leaders, majorly short of leaders, and it shows in a game, particularly when you're struggling. You know, plenty of fellas will stand up if you're winning by 15 points, but it's in a game like yesterday you needed them. In fairness, I'd give huge credit to Jake. I think he was the ever-present threat up there, and you could pick other individuals who were above the rest. I thought Craig Morgan, very good in defence, Ronan, maybe Willie Connors, you mentioned, a few like that. Dan McCormack, a good shift as well, but so many others then, you were looking for them. That's the problem. We're shy of leaders at the moment.
Yeah, it's. I'm afraid we're going to be returning, I think, to the embers of this match in the coming weeks, because it'll be 4 weeks before Tipperary play a competitive game again, and there's a lot to get out of the system between now and then. Thank you both for your time and your thoughts tonight. Very much appreciated. And hopefully next time we're talking, there'll be a bit more positivity in the room.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks indeed. Thanks, JJ Kennedy. And Tom McGrath joining us there. Our text number is 083-311-3311. I could spend the rest of the show just reading out texts, and that's not fair to the guest who's sitting opposite me, but I'll come to some of them. Somebody asking, were they trying to lose it? That perennially comes up. No Tipperary player ever sticks on a blue and gold jersey and goes out to lose a game. I never subscribe to that conspiracy theory. How can you win a game at one inside forward, says one texter. Second half, Clare made us go long by pushing up on our puckouts, destroyed our half forward line in both halves. I'd go further, texter. We didn't win a line. Like, they didn't just destroy our half forward line. All our lines, I think, were second best to Clare yesterday. Simple question, says another texter. Have we got the players? I don't know, leave that open to you. The rest of you, another texter, have we anyone with speed in the team? We can't win our own ball. These are all just one line texts that are coming in by the dozen here tonight. Let's go to something a little bit more. Hi lads, we've an up-in battle to get settled for championship. However, with all our problems, the most consistent worrying has been the selection. We are starting players in the twilight of their career against a fast, fit, young Clare side, and we're leaving players like Allentine and Sean Ryan, Sean Hayes and others on the bench. Despite our performance, we got it back to 2 points. It would have been the perfect timing to introduce experienced players that have served us so well down the years and know how to close out a game instead of giving Clare a new purple patch. I will try and come back to some of those texts before we go off air tonight, but I'm going to switch tack and go to football now, and delighted to be joined in the studio by Chairman of the Football Board, I think is your title. Secretary, my apologies. Alan Maloney, how are you? And it's good of you to come in. Thanks indeed. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about the under-20s, because they were in Quilty at the weekend. They drew with Limerick in Featherton their first night out and got a good win against Clare.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, Ronan. No doubt about it. It was the positive in the last few weeks. The game in Featherton went right down to the wire. They got out of there with a draw in a game that could have went either way. So going up to Quilty was a huge, huge test. I went up myself Saturday morning. The gale force wind that hit us when we got out of the Care, so you were in for a big test. Yeah. But I think the winning of the game was in the first half, run in that the kickouts into the gale, Robbie McGrath in goals, he found a man 8 out of 9 times. Two midfielders fielded a fantastic ball, and to go in just 2 points down was great going in, you know. And I suppose then to concede a sucker punch of a goal just after half time, but they came again, and in the last 10 minutes they outscored Clare 1-4 to no score. And that was the winner of the game. And now they have a fantastic opportunity down in Dungarvan. If they beat Waterford, they go into a round robin with Kerry, Cork and the other team from Phase 1. So you have another 3 games, something that you would never, ever have had at under 20, you know. So it's great for Niall Fitz, Paddy Gorman, Keane Maher and Kevin Mulryan.
I was going to make that point, because very often in the under 20 grade, one of the greatest negatives I think about it is the fact it can be over as soon as it starts for some teams. It's not straight knockout, which is great, because it's a lot of effort, a lot of miles and a lot of open back to Thurles if you're only going to get one game.
And you could draw Kerry in the first round with all respect. Now they can go into a round robin after 3 battled hardened games, providing they win now next Saturday, because that is going to be a big test.
To go to our seniors, and you were up in Carrick and Shannon yesterday for a 15.9 reversal at the hands of Leitrim in a game that meant a lot to Leitrim, but we weren't really playing. Well, we weren't playing for anything. But I've got to ask about, it's been a difficult couple of weeks, because there was a bit of positivity that came. The performance against Carlow was positive, the win against Longford was positive, and there was even positive vibes coming out of the Laois game, but there was negatives then with London and there was negatives with Waterford. So it has been a bit up and down, but a little bit more down than up.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. There's no sugarcoating it, Ronan. You know, the draw against London, draw against Waterford, they weren't great, you know, with the Laois game. It looked like they probably had turned the corner after winning in Longford. But yesterday I saw signs of maybe coming back to form. You know, they held with Leitrim for long periods and maybe give some lads some game time, Mark Russell and all, they wouldn't have seen the field yet, give them a bit of gale time. But you know yourself, no different to the hurlers in Championship in 5 weeks' time. Tip footballers play Sunday week down in Dungarvan, and that Tip public will be judging on that, because you'll either go up to play Clare and Ennis or you'll be preparing for a Tailteann Cup.
There was some, I suppose, a theory or musing that maybe this year was about consolidation, that promotion might be a year too soon for this team, and that, you know, it was a lot of ask considering that Paul Kelly came in relatively late to the team and into the dressing room, that to sort of be talking about promotion was a year premature.
Maybe I suppose, as you say, yeah, they were a few weeks behind, but I suppose some of the performers, the draws could have been wins, and then you were going up to Carrick and Shannon, a very much different, you know, a different perspective, and you were in Leitrim's pack. But look, overall, one game in the league, that is disappointing, and it's going to have to be turned around with the Championship. As you said, that's where the Tip football public will be looking for the win to hopefully then go up to Ennis with the likes of Stephen O'Brien and all back, who are carrying injuries.
I think it's important to reference those. I mean, Mark Russell would walk onto that team. Conal Kennedy, we've only seen him sparsely.
Yeah, and actually was one of the positives yesterday.
Really. Did you get 70 minutes out of him?
Yeah, and it was excellent, yeah.
But like, that's game time into Conal's legs. Mm. There have been, you know, fellas like Peter McGarry, Jack Leamy, who are relatively new additions to that panel as well. You know, I think Creedon has been a bit hot and cold, but will be hot again.
Played well yesterday.
So, you know, fellas need to play. And, you know, you kind of startled me a little bit there. It's only 2 weeks to Championship.
That's all, Sunday week. Yeah, you're down in Dungarvan. And look, Dungarvan have already got the draw with us up in Bantry that day. So, look, I suppose Paul and the team are going to have to look at that and try to turn it around. Yeah.
Can we have a quick word on the Friends of Tipperary football, if you don't mind? Because I'm always cognizant of Conor Sweeney lifting the cup down in Páirc Cuíve back in COVID times, and you were probably at home. I don't know, like the rest of us.
Unfortunately,
those of us who wanted to be there couldn't be there. And he did pay reference to the Friends of Tipperary football and what they do for the footballers of Tipperary. And, you know, it's all expense.
Yeah.
Is hard, and the county board need as much dig out as they can, you know.
And that's it. And I suppose I'm kind of twofold. They're currently doing their membership right, and the one thing that struck me when I came in as secretary is the phenomenal work that's done by a small amount of people and the Friends, and actually the bond that's there between the players and the Friends. I see it yesterday, a minibus up to Carrick and Shannon to see them all there mingling with the players. Like, you couldn't put a price on that bond, but the players have a huge respect for them, and vice versa. But their membership, which includes a EuroMillions syndicate, is now online, and I would encourage anyone that can to support it, because these funds are required for development squads, minor, under 20 and senior. And secondly, for anyone interested in joining the Friends, I would make an interesting point. Like, you don't have to be for Tipperary. I know that the chairman of the Friends is a Tyrone man, the secretary is a Mayo man, an own club man of mine, Sean Mulligan, has joined recently. He's a Loud man, so anyone that's passionate about football can get involved here, and it gives you, you know, into the inter-county scene and a chance to fund. And again, those minibuses and all, just to see the bond that's there and the support that they give the team is phenomenal, and the respect that's given back from the players is huge, Ronan. Yeah,
I think even if you're looking for a bit of value, €20 gets you into every EuroMillions draw from the 2nd of April to December 31st.
100%.
You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like,
and you get the Michael Hogan car sticker for the car as well.
Which looks fantastic, I have to say, as well. So, look, how is there an online version that people can do?
Yeah, there's a link online. I can get it on if you want.
Yeah, we'll share it on.
And any of the players on the Tip team or any of the committee members are selling tickets as well. And, you know, so I would encourage anyone in the next week that could come out and do that to support. And it's the Tip teams will see it.
Yeah, no, look, I think everyone wishes you well, because I think, and I've made this point regularly on the show, I think that Tip footballing squad has a lot more in them than we've seen so far. Hopefully the same bodes true of our hurlers as well, but I'm convinced that our footballers are better than what we've seen. And maybe Championship is the time to see the green sprouts.
Things might come together, you know what I mean? And as I said, the under 20 and the minors are kicking off Tuesday week. Very good minor team. That's the vibe coming out of the camp in the minors. Really good team. Again,
who's over the minors?
Shane Hennessy and Mike Donnell.
That's
giant
right,
managers.
Anyway, we wish them well. Look, and wish
Thanks
you well.
Later,
and the Friends of Tipperary football, any €20. You never know what we might all be celebrating. That's in it. Barbados one of these days.
Listen, thanks for your honour.
Not at all, and I wish you well. That's Alan Maloney joining us there, friends of Tipperary Football. We'll be back in just a few seconds' time.
Extra Time on Tip FM. Brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Owen Dillon Nina. REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel. And REA Seamus Brown Ross Cray.
See realestatealliance.ie.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month with the Talbot Hotel Clonmel. Multi-award winning wedding specialists with state-of-the-art leisure facilities and spa with food served daily.
The Tip FM Sports Star of the Month.
Get your nominations in now.
You're very welcome back. We have a lot more to come on tonight's show because there's rugby to cover and there's also local soccer. But before we do, St. Mary's GAA Club, Hurling Club, Hurling and Camogie Club here in Clonmel are holding a planning workshop this coming Thursday night in the Talbot Hotel to get the views of members and wider members of the community on their 5-year development plan. Delighted to be joined by Karen Ferris from the committee who joins me on the line. How are you, Karen?
I'm good, thanks, Ronan. And yourself?
I'm well. What I think is great about this, Karen, is that you have a site, you have a kind of an anniversary on the horizon, which is in 2029, and it's now you're planning to have something concrete in place to celebrate that centenary in style.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we've kicked off the consultation now, and look, it's on our 5-year development plan, which, as you said there, will actually take us up to the 100-year anniversary of the club in 2029. And look, I suppose over the last number of years, Ronan, lots of GAA clubs around the country have undertaken similar exercises, put in place development plans for the future. And, you know, for us in St. Mary's, I suppose, look, we're an urban club, but we've really seen a rejuvenation in the numbers in the last number of years, particularly even with the growth of the Camogie arm of the club again. And we have to plan now for the future. And we are looking not just at the 5 years, but look, what does the next 100 years look like for the club, and how do we support hurling in the county? And, you know, I know the level of interest, and you've only been talking about it there for so long, but, like, it's really important a town like Clonmel has a strong, you know, urban base and continues to grow in hurling and develop that pipeline of talent. There's such enthusiasm from our members at the moment.
Like, there was a purple period for the minor hurlers of St. Mary's winning back-to-back county minor titles, and it was a sense then that the club had a real understanding of where it needed to go, and from that comes, you know, the likes of Tadhg Sheehan winning All-Ireland Minor with Tip 2 years ago, last year. Peter McGarry, who, you know, breaks through at minor and under 20 level. You've got Seamus Kendi, of course, who has two All-Irelands in his back pocket, as well as an All-Ireland minor football medal, you know, multiple medal winner as well with Tip. So that's what you're trying to do. It's a conveyor belt of players you're trying to produce as well.
Yeah, that's definitely one element of it. And we have had a lot of investment, I suppose, in those pipeline of talent over the last number of years. But, like, look, this is the broader piece around the club. It's about the players. It's about the structures in place for the players. It's about how we grow our arms into the community as well. So, you know, well, look, I know that's obviously a very important element of it. And it's what even I know my own kids and younger kids in the club, they need those role models and that success story to keep them going. But then there is also the piece where I suppose we run things like our Sports for All initiative, which is for kids with abilities and neurodiverse abilities in the community. And it's those arms into the wider community as well. And the facilities we've put in place, our training pitches, how we ensure that we have the coaching pathways into the future. And, you know, so I suppose we're looking at this holistically in terms of our development plan. We do need the foundations in place to grow the club and to grow the success of our adult teams into the future. But we also need all those other elements, because for us it's about kids being involved in sport, it's about the numbers coming through, continuing to attract them into hurling, and, you know, giving them the right skills and the facilities at a younger level to keep them involved in the club.
This Thursday night the 28th at 7:30 in the Talbot Hotel, where I think that workshop will be keenly attended. We wish you well with it, Karen. I wish I had more time for you, but you understand there was events in Portlaoise that overtook the time tonight. So anyway, Karen, I wish you well next Thursday night at 7:30 in the Talbot.
Super. Thanks, Ronan.
Not at all, Karen. That's Karen Fernsley, one of the committee members involved in that. We wish them well this Thursday night, changing codes completely to rugby. One texter says, well done to the high school under-16 rugby team who defeated Middleton in the Mungret Cup Munster final at Musgrave Park last Thursday. Great inroads being done in Clonmel High School in all codes, not just rugby. They have a fine hurling team this year and a fine football team every year. But a busy, busy school when it comes to sport. If you follow their Twitter handle, it's quite exhausting, actually, the amount of success they've had. Peter Silk from Cashel Rugby Club is on the line. Peter, how are you?
I'm good, Ronan, thank you.
Nobody saw those results coming, but from a Nina point of view, I'll come to that in a second, but Cashel have made sure that they are going to be involved in the playoffs following that win over Greystones.
Yes, it was important, Ronan, that we got back on the horse after the defeat by Ballymena. Now, we were missing a few lads on Saturday last, but, you know, we put in a good shift and we got a good win. We got 4 points. And then Barnhall were beaten, so we kind of gained a bit of ground on them. Like, we have, I suppose, it's just a little bit early to congratulate Nina. Technically, they're not promoted yet, but they're going to be promoted. They're 10 points ahead and they have a points difference of over 300. So, you know, they're home and hosed, so well done to them. So at this stage, what we're fighting for is a home semi-final in the playoffs. Barnhall are in that position at the moment. And if the league table stays as it is, well, then we'll have to visit them in the semi-final. But with two matches to play, there's still an awful lot to play for. And we go to Malone next Saturday. Malone had a win last weekend, so they're not relegated yet. They're at the bottom of the table, but they have an awful lot to play for. And it's not going to be an easy task. So, you know, two games to go. Everybody is fighting for something. And we're fighting for that second spot if we can get it, Ronan.
Were you surprised by Nina Orman's reversal against Navan?
I was when I saw the results. But Navan beat us as well. They're not a bad team. You know, they were in the Division 1B up to last year or the year before. They have a very strong club, a good big base, and but I was surprised that Nina were beaten. Now, Nina have plenty of leeway, you know what I mean? It depends on whether they had injuries or I just don't know. I didn't get any report on the game. But I was surprised they were beaten. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're going to be promoted.
Yeah.
Now, we're hoping they'll do us a favour next weekend because they're playing Barnhall.
That's what I was coming to.
I hope they don't take the foot off the pedal.
Well, they need a point, I think, to confirm their promotion. And do you know where that game takes place between Nina and Barnhall, by the way?
I don't.
Okay.
But I think it's in Nina.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've had a super season.
You're right, it is in Nina. Now that I fly through it, yeah, it is in Nina. And it's a game that could see them crowned as division champions and also have serious implications for you. You've got to go to Malone, and who's your final home game then against?
Our final home game then is against Banbridge.
Right.
Now, Banbridge beat us in the very first game of the season. And they were quite good on that day. They got a winning bonus point. But then they had a dip in form, but they came back in recent times and, you know, they're pushing as well for a playoff position. Now, whether they can make it or not, I'm not sure, but, you know, they'll be all out to beat us. So we have two tough games coming, Ronan. We are determined if we can get all our players on the field, I think I'd be confident against both those clubs. But, you know, as I said, everybody is fighting for position at this stage. And we just have to wait and see.
Listen, it's good talking to you, Peter. Two games to go, but please God, then that's not going to be the end of your season because the playoffs are going to be really, really keenly contested and I look forward to them immensely. Peter, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you, Ronan.
Not at all. Peter Silk from Cashel Rugby Club after an unusual round of games in the AIL Division 2A with defeats both to Nina Ormond and Barnhall. But anyway, it sets it up nicely because Cashel are assured of a playoff spot, but as you were hearing from Peter there, they're very keen to secure a home playoff spot. Galwegians, incidentally, in Division 2C, defeated Clonmel on a scoreline of 46 points to 13. Let's go to Barry Ryan to look over the TSNDL for us. Barry, how are you?
How are you, Roland?
Good bit to talk about, to be honest with you, despite the season coming to it's in its final embers. Before I start, I'm going to have to congratulate Clonmel Town under-16s on their 2-1 win over Care at the weekend, managed by Tony Scully, a man you know well. I was told that was against expectation, and I had to mention it tonight. But anyway, I can't spend too much time talking about under-16 matches. I'll be here all night, but I think the key game...
But isn't it great to see... To see someone of the calibre and the stature of Tony Scully, you know, coaching within the club at that age, and you know, whatever you'd be talking about at the moment about how things are, and you know, when you see that underage coming behind you, you know things will be okay.
No, I think that's fair, and I'm sure he's a lot to give. He's been in a lot of dressing rooms over many, many years with some top players, and he was a top player himself, so he'll certainly know how to get them organised and get them set up, and hopefully there's something coming through there from a Clonmeltown point of view. And it's early in the season at that level, so we'll wait and see what happens. Care Park, incidentally, where the Travellers made the journey to the bypass to take on Clonmel Celtic at the weekend in the Premier League, and a 2-1 win for Celtic.
Yeah, look, I think Care will be really, really disappointed. I think if they had won that game, they were really looking at a real possibility of coming second, and now they still do, but it just felt Celtic were down a couple of bodies. Care went 1-0 up early in the game. Celtic equalised, and then it looked like it was going to play out into a draw, which maybe both sides were going to feel it was 2 points dropped. And then literally last kick of the game, Jack Aylward capitalises on a mistake and wins it for Clonmel Celtic. It's a huge result for them, because now I suppose they look at how high they can finish in the table. Care very, very aggressive, playing 4-2-4. You don't see that too often in junior football, playing with a front four, and maybe got turned over going the other way towards the end. But to me personally, both teams have been excellent throughout the season, and served up another really good game. And look, I suppose Celtic to get the 3 points in this one.
Yeah, I suppose the jockeying for positions in the league table is what's making it interesting. And as you say, Clonmel Celtic could finish above Clonmel Town, which, if they win remaining games in hand, which would be a win for them, like in their own heads, you know?
Yeah, look, I absolutely will. And look, the reality of, I often say it on the show, soccer is very different than GAA, and in the summer, their recruitment drive will start around Clonmel and stuff as well. I think that's absolutely integral that Clonmel Celtic will be able to say, look at the run we had in the FAI, look at the run we've had in the Munster, and we finished above Clonmel Town in the league. You know, the reality is they will sell that in the summer, and you know, why shouldn't they? And that's kind of the nature of what it's all about.
Elsewhere, Wilderness Rovers still fulfilling fixtures every week, fair play, but they, Banshee Celtic went up to Wilderness, got the win. It's a bit of a dogfight if there's two going down.
Yeah, and look, Willie's really gave this one a right go. Very, very unlucky not to get a result, and fair play to Banja. This seems to be their time of the season. We spend the first half of the season kind of lamenting the situation they're in, and then second half of the season, it's just Banja win after Banja win. And they also gave St. Michael's the most difficult game they've had in recent weeks, but it really sets it up now. Tipperary Town's game was called off, so Banja now have leapfrogged them, and it's going to get very, very interesting down there.
Yeah, and just like you've Banja on 6 points, Tipperary Town on 7, and Tumal Boris on 9. One of those one from those three.
Banja not go to 9 after the weekend. Someone might correct me on that now. In my head, I thought that brought them to 9, but I could be wrong.
Well, no, I'm looking at the table on the website, so maybe I'm in the hands of the TSDL web administrators, but if that table is not fully updated, then I hold my hands up and say I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think league table usually later in the week. Okay. That we might get. Now, I could be wrong, but in my head anyway, my match was 9 points Banja.
So therefore, Tipperary Town are occupying the second relegation berth.
Yeah, and a few weeks ago, Banja had no points. So suddenly they've accumulated 9, but it's going to come down to a couple of games in hand and different things and who has what fixtures left. So it's going to get very, very interesting. There'll be a lot of excitement down there. And then again, we're left to only assume it's two going down, because if Peak Phillip B finished second,
Peak Phillip B could leapfrog the Rovers into the second playoff or second promotion berth, but they can't go up because Peak Phillip A are already in the Premier League.
Yeah, so there's a lot of permutations there into how that will play out and whether it's two going down. But if it is two going down, it's going to be very interesting, because Tipperary Town are a good, solid side. Banja then are a perennial Premier League side. 2 Mile Boris getting a little bit dragged in towards it as well, albeit I think they'll be fine. But it could get interesting down there. It could give us a bit of excitement towards the end of the season, with more to play for than, you know, maybe would have been the case otherwise.
Yeah, the Premier League will kind of come to a conclusion pretty soon, and then there's the Tipperary Cup to look forward to, which offers an opportunity of silverware for teams that aren't St. Michael's.
Yeah, and look, I think teams will like the look of St. Michael's going up against Clonmel Town in the Tipperary Cup, which maybe on the other side of the draw will give somebody the possibility to get Clonmel Celtic or someone maybe to get into a Tipperary Cup final, which is always, I always felt as a player, it was one of the great fixtures at the end of the season. A Friday night coming towards late April, early May, good weather, huge crowd. It was a real game that you always loved playing if you could get to a Tipperary Cup final.
Barry, I got to go, but thanks for your thoughts tonight.
Thanks a million, Ron.
Take care, and thanks. It's Barry Ryan on the TS and Dell. Just to read one final text out after a marathon text session for you all. I'm sorry I didn't get to them all. But one texter says, and this probably sums up a lot of the mood, I'm trying to get one that's a bit more cumulative of what people have said in. This texter says, the mood in Port Leash yesterday was anger, despair and blame. But let's get real. Liam Cahill has given every player at his disposal an opportunity to prove their worth in this league, and many have not been up to the standard in games against poor opposition. Now he has to prepare for Championship. There's no magic bullet. He has to try and make the best of what he's got. Unless we get some sort of structure to the central spine of this team, we're not going anywhere. We could still pull a surprise or two, but that might be as good as it gets. Ian O'Connor produced. We'll be back next week. Good night and good luck.
Extra time on Tip FM. Brought to you by your winning local team at Real Estate Alliance. REA Owen Dillon Nina. REA Stokes and Quirk Clonmel. And REA.